on this episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Hey, T-Ball team, let's talk disappointment, specifically disappointment in faith leaders when there's scandals that go on with people that we looked up to. What do we do with that? Let's talk about that today.
Welcome to Therapy Bites Art Lab, where Dr. Heath and his special guests share real-life stories of helping and healing. Fresh from the actual therapy couch, while taking a bite out of common counseling missteps and misconceptions. And now, here's Heath and the T-Ball team.
Okay, guys, there is a brewing scandal once again in the Christian community. And that, you know, that word kind of sticks in my throat, saying Christian along with scandal, because I remember the days of Jimmy Swaggart back in the, when was that, in the mid-80s, where he stood before the congregation crying, and then there's the scandal with Jim Baker, and then there's a scandal with Jonestown, and all those folks died because they drank the Kool-Aid. And now, by the way, there's lots of people on social media drinking that Kool-Aid, and it's killing your brain cells, guys. Be careful getting your mental health information from social media. But there's a current scandal brewing with the Hillsong community, and I think it's going to be a big problem, or it is a big problem for people of faith, because there's the temptation to throw out the proverbial Bible with the bathwater. And I mean, we have a room full of believers here. What do you guys do when you have a crisis of faith and things don't turn out as expected, or folks don't seem to live up to what they're representing as leaders in the church and leaders of faith? And I think the Hillsong church up in New York had 30,000 people attending weekly.
Wow.
They would have youth meetings and conferences of 7,000 people. There's a current YouTube documentary. My wife and I have just watched the first half of the first episode, and the gentleman is very charismatic, and this is not here to put him down or judge him, but I hope in the little bit of time we have here, we can add some perspective and talk about the psychological aspects of faith.
Well, I think something that's important to keep in mind is no matter what position somebody is in, they are a human. Mm-hmm. And humans do make mistakes. That's not to excuse any of the mistakes that we're making, but that were made. But I think it's important to remember that no matter where somebody is on the totem pole, they're not infallible. There's going to be issues.
I think something that's important is that even though we experience the disappointment and we experience the disgust and the sadness and all the feelings, the emotions that go along with something like this, to not let those be the guide for what truth is and what the facts are. The facts are the only one that's never going to let us down is God himself.
Well, and what I got watching for the first part of the documentary is that, you know, whatever works to get your family into a healthy, maybe call it faith situation, then I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. But people these days seem to equate Final Four tournaments with going to church, mm-hmm, and football stadium level events to going to a religious service. And they seem to want to be entertained. And that seems to be the big draw. Now, is there any problem with being entertained? I like to be entertained. I'm a big movie buff. But if that is the substance of your faith, or I don't think that is faith, I think that's just religion, then you're missing a lot. And if the substance of your religion is a person, a human person, then you're setting yourself up for failure. Because what's those saying, never meet your heroes, because you're going to be disappointed. No one in real life is as perfect as they get presented on camera. I'm a clinician, and I have 38 years in this, but I do stupid, unwise, unhealthy things in my relationships repeatedly, and sometimes most every day of the week. You know, little things that I should do that I don't, little things that I shouldn't do that I do. My dad once told me that the most dangerous moment on a motorcycle is when you think you can't have a wreck. And the most dangerous moment in a relationship is when you think you're perfect and you're not screwing up. The most dangerous moment in a relationship is when you're not struggling, because then you're not trying to do better, be healthier. And I really work at doing that. But with the Hillsong thing, I think that gets to be the problem with people at the pinnacle of these huge religious organizations, that they just get to drink in their own Kool-Aid, and then they don't have accountability, and that's just a recipe for disaster. But then the faithful get to looking at that and think, well, if they were fake, then my faith is fake. And I've had people come here to the Art Lab who've been in Christian service to some extent for decades, and they'll think that they're not right with God for all kinds of reasons. They'll think that their faith is fake, and they'll think that they never became a Christian, and they'll think that they're, you know, I mean, it's the theological belief of many Christians, going to die and go to hell. They'll think that they're not forgiven. They'll base that on emotions, because their faith was always based in an emotion. That if I can't go to this huge rock concert of a Christian experience and have a certain emotion, that emotion means that I've connected to God. But lacking that emotion would then mean that you're not connected to God. And I think that psychologically and theologically is a very dangerous way to program your brain. And I would remind listeners that have a faith, a belief system, that one of my favorite Old Testament stories is that God was heard in as a still small voice, not Led Zeppelin screaming at you through a microphone.
Well, and I think it's interesting, too. I loved it because you shared what you did about relationships, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And how do we see faith? Do we see faith as a relationship with God? A lot of the same things apply. If there's somebody we look to, a person that stumbles, you know, do we throw God out because that person stumbled? But it's our relationship with God. And I think a crisis of faith can be a great opportunity to really think about, you know, what do I believe and where do I stand? And I think we can grow through a crisis of faith a lot.
The Therapy Bites podcast is HIPAA compliant. No identifying patient information will be disclosed by Therapy Bites podcast hosts or Therapy Bites podcast guests without permission from patients or guardians. All personal stories are de-identified in order to comply with HIPAA, the NASW Code of Ethics, and the ethical principles of psychologists and code of conduct. Fresh from the therapy couch and from the deep dark recesses, stories may involve exploding preconceived notions and topics uncomfortable to underthinkers and small farm animals. Audience discretion and duct taping your head for safety is advised. Concrete-headed Kool-Aid drinking humans assume all risks associated with any possibility of choking to death on the accurate, realistic thoughts presented in the Art Lab. This is natural selection, and Therapy Bites podcast management and hosts are not responsible.
Hey guys, Doc Heath here with Fresh from the Therapy Couch with a message for both men and women, and let's start out with the men. Men often beat up on themselves because they get to thinking that it's not okay to be angry. If I'm angry, I'm doing something wrong. But listen, there's a difference between anger and behavior. You can be angry and do the healthy thing. And how do you do that? You do the healthy thing by having healthy thoughts. And what are the ingredients of healthy thoughts? The ingredients of healthy thoughts are accurate and realistic thoughts. You can still perform at a maximal level, even in the presence of anger. And the more you do it, the better you'll get at it. Now, for the women, this doesn't mean that your guy or your man or your husband or your boyfriend or your fiance is going to have a Mr. Rogers expression on his face. See, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood, and I could strangle my neighbor. No, you're not going to have that Mr. Rogers face. It's okay to have an affect which kind of mirrors what's going on the inside. But what makes it worse is to catastrophize it. And you can ask somebody, are you angry? Are you irritated? And realize there's no law against that. And that is not harmful and that is not pathological. There's nothing pathological about an emotion. And there's also nothing pathological, well, about your phone ringing in the middle of a podcast drop, is there? And so that's not a catastrophe either. But you deal with things as they come by using what? Accurate, realistic thinking. The more you catastrophize your anger, the more you tell your brain it's a threat to you, and the more anger you'll have. And if you see somebody that's struggling, well, why catastrophize their struggling? It's time to decatastrophize being human, and a normal part of human experience is catastrophizing, and a normal part of that is anger. You can do both, but just behave in ways that are healthy. Doc Heath out.
You're listening to Therapy Bites Art Lab. Bite-sized therapy for your brain with Dr. Heath and the T-Ball Team. The best advice on the net. No copay required.
For full show notes and transcript of today's episode, go to therapybites.podbean.com.
Here's Heath and the T-Ball Team.
I think a crisis really can demonstrate to you the substance of your faith. And if your faith is shaken by what some human did or didn't do, then I would say that you didn't have much substance of faith to begin with. And yes, that's pretty challenging. But that's, once again, why we shouldn't, place our faith in a person. That person has a job. Hopefully they'll do well at that job. But your faith shouldn't rotate around a personality. But personalities can be very addictive. What's said of that pastor at Hillsong, and there's the Hulu documentary out on this now. What's said of that pastor is that he could cry on command. He could turn toward the camera and just let the tears flow. And for the older of us on the crew, we remember that's what Jimmy Swaggart did. And I'm not criticizing Jimmy Swaggart. I'm just saying that what you see on TV is not real. It is TV. It is carefully curated, presented, produced, edited to gain an effect. I mean, we edit our podcast here because we have, some gaps and uhs and ohs and you guys don't want to hear all of that. But we don't edit out the real stuff. But still, you are, as you're looking at me, if you're looking at me on camera, you're making your mind up about who I am. Now, hopefully that may be favorable or it may not be. If it is favorable and you meet me in person, you will inevitably at some point be disappointed. It's just the way it is because you don't know me fully. But it works the other way, too. If you're viewing me negatively and you became my next-door neighbor, you might find that I'm a pretty nice guy, a big teddy bear. I like hugs and I like, lemonade. And if you need me to help you hook up your trailer, I'll be glad to do that. Or if you need me to carry something, I'll do that. You think you know somebody on a camera. There is no way to know somebody on camera. This is what happens in social media. It happened to me last night in the middle of a crisis. I was working. I was also, kind of multitasking, carrying on a debate when I got to take a break from some of the crisis work. And people will tell you on social media, and some of you on social media know what I'm talking about. Hopefully you're not the offender, the troll, as they're called. And we'll tell people you're troubled. I had a lady last night be very disingenuous. This was disturbing only because she's using religion as a weapon. And she said, well, we're all going to pray for you. And I said, who's going to pray? You and the mouse in your pocket? I mean, who's we? And is this genuine? And if it's not genuine, shame on you. But people will tell you, hey, you need help and you have a problem and you're being defensive. And they tell you that because they don't want to hear you disagreeing with them. And what's going on is they've made a snap judgment about you, which is built on very shaky ground. And the disappointments in faith that I had as a young man with the Jimmy Swaggart and the Jim Baker kerfuffle was that was so off of what I expected. And the brain responds to pattern mismatches as a threat. And this is what's going to happen in the Hillsong community, is people are going to look at that. And as I said, starting out the episode, throw out, in this case, the Bible with the bathwater. And you hear a lot of atheists do that. They'll say, faith is a scam because the whole Jim Baker thing was a scam. Right. And I guarantee you're going to hear it come out that faith is a scam because of what, and I think the pastor's name is Lentz or something like that, a very gregarious, charismatic young man, and I hope he gets through this, whatever happened. I haven't watched the whole documentary, so I don't know what happened. And I hope that he heals his relationship. But inevitably, a relationship between a human and their creator is dyadic, not triadic. God just has a relationship with you. It's not you and God and the pastor Hillsong. It's just you. And God just has a relationship with just me. Now, you may criticize my faith, and that's okay, but you're not a part of my faith. You can't be. It's just you and I. And for those of you that believe in the great white throne of judgment, some of you know that's okay. In today's eschatological things, it's just going to be you and the Creator. The Creator's not going to ask, hey, we need to get, you know, this pastor of Hillsong in here, because he's got nothing to do with your relationship between you and God. It's just between you and God. And you run into trouble when you start including other people.
And I think there's also the idea that if something like this happens, if there's a song that they've created that's very worshipful and that you enjoy presenting to God as like a sacrifice of praise, that, oh, well, I can't sing that song to God anymore. But the thing is, it's the song is about worshiping God. It's not about Hillsong at all. And I think, you know, if we keep that in mind, that the way that we worship the Creator can be unique to us. It doesn't have to be something that's...
Yeah, I mean, right. that would kind of be feeding into the whole cancel culture.
Yeah.
As if Picasso were suddenly discovered to have been someone who, I don't know, beat his children or something, mm-hmm. we should burn his art.
Right.
Well, that's ridiculous. One of my favorite authors is Roald Dahl, and he was well known to be a terrible parent. He just was, but I still enjoy his work. My dad used to say that. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Find value where there's value to be found, and don't equate someone with the product that they produce. I mean, if somebody makes the best tasting candy bar in the world, what are you going to do? Throw it out if they wind up being a bad wife or, you know, a bad husband or something? No, go ahead and enjoy the candy bar.
And I think that kind of goes back to, we've talked about this in previous podcasts, but the meaning that we give to things. So if you choose to give that meaning to that song, that, hey, it means everything that has happened at Hillsong, that's your choice. But we can also choose to give it the meaning of, hey, this is just a worshipful song. You know, when it was created, it was, you know, maybe inspired by God. It had nothing to do with Hillsong. So just give it that meaning that you think it needs to have.
Well, and I think that you may have hit on the problem there, mm-hmm. is because I would see that as somebody going to a service to be entertained.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're connecting that song with their enjoyment instead of a communion with their Creator.
Right.
And if you will focus on, this song is communion with my Creator, then it doesn't matter who wrote it.
Exactly. And same goes with the pastor himself, things that he maybe said from the pulpit or teaching. It doesn't mean to throw it all out. There's things that he said that are very good. You know, God used a donkey, right?
With Balaam. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
My wife used that analogy with me. She has a different term for it, though.
Oh.
Thank you guys for joining us. Come back next time.
Hey, T-Ballers. Thanks so much for being with us today. If we brought value to your day, show us some love by leaving your positive feedback and inviting some friends to listen in and join the T-Ball team.